Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Friday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Get into all kinds of stuff, mostly football. Coming up at the end of the show, the last segment, we'll talk college, we'll talk NFL. Wild move yesterday that seems out of character for one team. We'll see. It's almost like an all or nothing. Seems like high risk, low reward for what the team was without OBJ. So we'll talk about that. We got Burns Flat, Adil City head coach Jacob Schneeberger coming up at 9:20. 9:20 for Burns Flat, Adil City head coach Jacob Schneeberger. Talk about their season, some of their guys, and also look ahead to tonight's first-round playoff matchup down in Mangum for the Eagles. We'll pick our state champs from each class, and we'll talk about all the other high school football playoffs. Elk City mainly on the docket here to start with the trip to Cushing coming up here in just a couple of hours. We're T-minus, 4 hours from blasting off and heading to northern Oklahoma. So that's kind of what we've got on the plate today. Football. There are some basketball games tonight that we'll mention, but mostly the football playoffs starting this evening are what has our attention. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. Talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, there are a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com. Download the Paragon app. The app has all things. It's got all radio. It's got the Penny News. It's got Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. As I mentioned, Big Elk's at Cushing tonight for the first round of the football playoffs. Paragon TV will be at multiple locations. You have those pulled up by any chance?
I do.
Feel free to fire them off.
Eric is visiting Hammond. Cheyenne will go to Leedy. Arnett at Arapahoe. And Canute is on the road at Sentinel.
6:15 pregame, 6:30 tips for those basketball games tonight on ParagonTV.com. If you miss our show entirely, you can go back and listen a couple of ways. KADSAM.com for the podcast. Also, iTunes for the podcast. Good morning, Jared.
How are you? Some rest last night? Ready to go?
I did. I feel like I need to make a list and check it twice.
I'm right there with you.
Because everything's pretty condensed, it feels like. But I think I got most everything ready. Just a couple of things production-wise to get done after the show for other obligations. And then get focused on making sure we've got everything headed to Cushing at 1 o'clock. So it's,
you know, one thing we did not do this week.
What's that?
Determine where we're eating.
I
didn't even looked.
No, I haven't either.
You've been to Cushing more than I have. I think you would know, right?
I actually did look at a place.
Oh, there you go.
Short of Cushing before we ever get there.
Oh, well, yeah, it could be anywhere on the way. Yeah.
But I don't know if the timing's going to work just right.
Why ain't that the way it goes?
It's a world-famous barbecue.
Ooh.
Closes at 3 o'clock.
I don't know if we can make that.
It's in Wellston.
I don't know if we can make that. I'm sure there are other fine establishments in Cushing, America.
Yeah.
What do they call it? The oil hub of America?
Yeah, it's not quite that, but you're close.
What do they call it?
Yeah, it's something. It's close to that.
Pipeline hub? The crossroads?
Crossroads. I think that's it.
I'm anxious to see those big, big tanks. I've never been to Cushing. So this
I don't
is
know.
I get to check off.
I don't know if you're going to be able to see them. Maybe.
Let's take a tour of the town. Let's go around. Couldn't you see them from the Gulf? Buffalo? What is it called?
Buffalo Rock.
Buffalo Rock, can't you see from there?
Yeah, but that's 10 miles from where we're going to be.
Oh, really?
It's out of town. 10 maybe, pushing it a couple. Okay. It's for sure 5.
I was wanting to go celebrate America's oil independence in Cushing and check them out.
Oh, yeah, see, excellent barbecue. I knew Possum would know right where I was talking about. Anyhow, we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
You might
we'll
be. Have you time probably on can. The way I mean, there. Listen. When you see what you're talking about, yeah. they are as far as the eye can see. There's
yeah.
When you play that golf course, gosh, it used to be number 6, so now that means it's number 15. It's a par 5. It goes east to west, out of bounds left, big dune on the right, and some water if you actually hit it too far right. And you get to that green. It's the far southwest corner of that golf course, and you look to your south, and that's all you see is just container after container. I mean, it's
yeah.
of oil. It's all there is there. They're white. They're everywhere to your south. Trying to think about if we could see that from where the football field is. Yeah, probably. I mean, there's so many of them. I think it's just a matter of being high enough to look, you know, over the town. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
To be able to see out that far. But yeah, they're everywhere. The game itself, contrast of styles, man. This is going to be a different team than the Elks have seen as far as what they want to do on offense since, gosh, what, Pampa? Maybe Southeast? Thinking of it, Southeast, they just wanted to spread it out and throw it down the field. It's not really what this is.
It'll spread you out. Get you one-on-one.
And throw it far.
It, go get it. Yeah.
This is more the I mean,
a little bit more finesse with this.
Cushing will throw it down the field. There's no doubt about that. But they're more of the intermediate to short passing attack and let those receivers make plays with the ball in their hands. And then, of course, we all know what the Elks want to do. Ground and pound. Keep control of the football. And so, you know, Blaze Berlewitz is the quarterback for Cushing. He averages right around 300 yards of passing 300 passing yards a game, which is something that the Elks haven't seen much of at all throughout the season. So it's going to be a different attack than what Elk City's used to defending. What would be a key in your mind for the Elks going into tonight's game?
I don't think the Big Elk should get down on themselves if they start giving up passes. I think the key is, and I've been stressing this ever since because I saw flashes of good stuff against Newcastle, the key is yards after catch. You see the video on Cushing. That's, like you said, they get it into their playmakers' hands via the air, and then they make stuff happen. Not take anything away from the quarterback. He's a good quarterback. But if it's okay to give up the 3-yard, 4-yard, 5-yard passes as long as you immediately get them down. And you keep doing that, you put the frustration side on Cushing, like, man, we can't break these tackles. So be sure with your tackling. Don't give up the big yards after catch. That's key to me. And make Cushing go on long drives and wear them out. You know, that wears them out, wears out their offensive line too. That for me is a key. Do not give up the big play, the big yard after catch play.
Yeah, and I think part of keeping those plays down is keeping Berlewitz in the pocket as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. when you watch the film, you know, you can see him getting outside the pocket and making bigger plays. And not necessarily with his feet to run it, but just to make guys cover his receivers longer and longer further down the field, and he makes plays that way. You'll see RPO. You'll see a bunch of zone read stuff. Off of that, Noah Jones, which folks around here know his dad, Greg Jones, was a former Big Elk. He's the running back there for Cushing. Kind of a smaller guy, but quick, you know, and does plenty to complement what they do as far as throwing the football. I think the biggest key is to start fast, man. We've seen this season when the Elks get off to good starts, they're able to continue to pound the rock. And it almost feels – and part of the reason is some of those guys are the same guys, but really not everybody by any stretch on the lines. You know, they're able to – the Elks are able to have enough depth to where, you know, Joseph and Gage, those guys primarily play defense. You know, Brendan plays a little bit both ways. But then the offensive line's kind of the offensive line. I mean, they all kind of fill in at different times on both. But for the most part, you know, you've kind of got an O-line and a D-line. And so – but it does seem like they're when one starts well, the other it really kind of motivates. Does that make sense?
Because
mm-hmm. how many times have you seen, like last week, defensive line dominated that first series against Newcastle's offense, and what does the offensive line do? Boom, boom. You know, and then it just kind of gets rolling, and we've documented it well. The Elks just flat out aren't built to come back from big deficits. It's just not their style. And so I think a fast start, which means controlling the ball, which means Cushing's offense stands over there on the sideline as much as possible,
will really help.
Defensively, as much as it's, you know, you think about you got to cover. Getting pressure on Berlewitz without letting him get out of the pocket is huge. He's a big dude, mm-hmm. looks like a big dude. So, you know, hard to bring down. But, you know, if it's one constant the Elks have been able to do is play pretty good defense, especially with the line. You know, that front seven's been very, very good. You know, they've really kind of held down a bunch of good running backs. Even in the Clinton loss, they held the running backs down. Mm-hmm. Now, Powell went nuts, but, you know, think back to Gilliland from Bethany, held him down. Landers from Pampa, held him down. You know, it's Hoffman and all those guys from Weatherford really had nowhere to run. And so the Elks have done a good job for the most part against running backs. We've seen the quarterback run, touch him up a time or two in both losses. That was huge plays with the feet of quarterbacks, Heim, Bethany, and, of course, Caden Powell at Clinton running up and down the field. So, you know, Berlewitz has that capability, but I don't think it's what he wants to do. He wants to move around to throw it as much as he wants to move around to run it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So that those are all good keys. You got to contain him. He's a dynamic player.
Quick note.
We've seen some dynamic players this year.
Oh, for sure.
We've had success, and we haven't had success, and now's the time to learn from that here in the playoffs. So, that's a big key.
Quick note and a congratulations. I saw yesterday Daylon Thompson, running back for Elk City,
yes.
committed to Southwestern.
That's great.
So that's he'll be able to continue his football career over at Weatherford at SWASU. So
I love that. Right here in our backyard.
That's exactly right.
Still see him play. Yeah.
And it makes so much sense for Southwestern to recruit guys like that.
I'm telling you.
To get people to come watch. So, congratulations to Daylon. Hopefully he has a big one tonight, because the more success Daylon Thompson has, the better chance the Elks have of winning the game. It's just that simple.
No offense to the other guys, but they'll be right there with you saying this is true.
Yes.
If he has a day, if he's successful, this team's successful. We've seen that all season long.
For multiple reasons, because the offensive line gets going. It opens up some passes to Mason, to Cooper, to Drake, to everybody out there on the outside.
Yeah.
And it keeps the defense fresh.
Yes.
The offense keeps on the field.
Yep.
I can't wait. It's going to be a fun contrast. It's a completely different teams. Coach Meadows mentioned that in the interview.
Yeah.
Their philosophy of football is different than ours. And nothing could be more true. Joining us now is a man that has led the Burns Flat Dill City Eagles to the Class A playoffs tonight down in Mangum. Head coach Jacob Schneeberger. Coach Schneeberger, how are you today?
I'm doing good. You doing all right?
Doing good. Jared Aith is along with us as well. First off, congratulations on a fine season. I know you guys were in the playoffs last year because of the way things went, but nobody can take away the Class A 11-man playoffs from you this year. You got there the way you always had to get there, and that's by winning football games.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you know, I was proud. It makes you feel a little better when, you know, it's not just given to you and, you know, you had to go take it. And we did. We had to fight hard, and, the district that we were in was really tough. We got a lot of good teams in the district, and we, you know, proud of the guys for going and securing a playoff spot.
You guys started 4-0 and then lost three straight in the middle of district play, but bounced back with three wins in a row. To secure your spot, how pleased are you with the way your team's resiliency shined through there at the end of the year?
I'm really pleased with it. We started off, 4-0, like you said. We ran into three top 10 teams all, right there in a row. I think they were all undefeated, when we played them. And so, three really good teams in our district. We had an injury or two during that string of games, and we came out of there and, I laid it down to the kids after that Hooker game and said, we're going to have to go win three in a row to go get in the playoffs, and they responded great. We went and won three in a row, and here we are.
Hey, Coach, you mentioned this. We mentioned this district. It is a tough district. Fairview, and you mentioned Hooker and Moreland, and other, even the other ones that didn't make the playoffs. How much of an advantage is that for you to play in a district like this moving forward to playoffs to tonight's game?
Well, you know, I guess we'll see tonight. But I feel like, you know, we've had to play really tough football teams. I'm going to tell you this. We had to beat Merritt the last game of the season to get in the playoffs. And Merritt ended up 2-8, and that is a really stinking good football team, like a really good football team. And so, you know, just week in, week out, having to struggle to get better and, you know, work on fundamentals and game plan to the highest level, I think has really, really helped us.
What's been kind of the strength of your team throughout so far this year?
Well, I feel like we're physical up front. We got a couple really physical ball carriers. Run hard. Our running back blocks really well. Our wide receivers do a good job of you know getting some blocking down the field, which I really think you know is what creates big plays. And then we've been able to play off that and scheme up some passes that have been wide open, you know. And then defensively, we've changed stuff up. I feel like we do a good job of making teams play left-handed, you know, make them do things that they're not really comfortable with. And, you know, that's just kind of what we hang our hat on. And, you know, it's worked pretty good so far.
Coach, you know, the Burns Flat program has a lot of tradition to it. Obviously, a lot of that in 8-man. And then there's some worry a few years ago when it jumped up to 11-man. It seems like the program has established or has embraced being in 11-man. Talk about that transition. I know that's probably the common question you get a lot, but that has to feel good that your program is now a perennial contender in 11-man football.
Yeah, well, you know, when we moved up, we had a little bit of issues because right when we moved up was when the virus hit. We didn't get to have spring football, you know, and then you're dealing when you come back that next year and you're starting your camp in August, you know, we had some guys in and out and stuff, you know, due to, you know, quarantine and stuff like that. And so it was a little rougher for us last year, you know, just as far as knowing the schemes and things like that. But this year I thought we've done a good job that, you know, the kids had a better handle on the schemes that we were trying to teach them and, you know, the differences between the 8 and 11-man game. But for the most part, I just, you know, I tried to stress to the kids when we found out we were moving up, is it's still all this, it's fundamentals, it's blocking, it's tackling, it's throwing, it's catching, you know, it's reading your key on defense, getting lined up. You know, the things that make you successful in 8-man also make you successful in 11-man. But I do think that there was just a schematic transition that we had to go through last year to get to where we're at right now.
We're talking to head coach Jacob Schneeberger of the Burns Flat Deal City Eagles, headed down to Mangum tonight for the first round of the district playoffs in Class A. You've played Mangum this year and beat them back in the non-district. What challenges do the Tigers present to you guys tonight?
Well, you know, they've got a really good coach, and, you know, and coaching staff for that matter. He does a great job with them. They're really fast, really fast all across the board. You know, they got fast linemen that, you know, everybody on their team is fast. So, you know, that's kind of an issue that we're going to have to deal with. You know, and just they've done a good job of making people uncomfortable. They do a good job on special teams of making people uncomfortable. You know, they don't just they're not static on defense. They'll move around and they'll make you, you know, adjust your blocking schemes and you know, they just do a good job of making it tough on people, and they play extremely hard every play. And you know, that's what I've been impressed the most about them, is just how hard they play and how fast they are.
How's the following, Coach? The community, they really show up for you this year?
Yeah, it's been good. It's been good. We, you know, we've had a lot of people at all our games. They've been really supportive. You know, we talked about that three-game stretch where we lost three in a row to those top 10 teams. You know, they were really supportive after those games. They did a good job of keeping their kids' heads up and, you know, just supporting the program. So I am really pleased with that. I could, you know, I have no complaints about that.
Who are some of the guys individually that have had good years for your Eagles?
Well, Luke Snaberger is our quarterback. He's had a really good year running the ball. You know, that's kind of been our base scheme on offense. We run it a lot with the quarterback. Evan Donaldson's our running back. He's had a really good year. He runs the ball really hard, blocks really well for our QB run game. Defensively, Josh Mooney has, you know, he's probably our best defensive player. Him and Andrew Moore have had really big years on defense. Gage Spiegel's done a good job for us, you know, at nose guard, and you know, it's hard for me to say who's really had a huge year, because, you know, for me right now, we're still playing and everybody does their part.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, not all the fans don't see all these small things that these kids do, but I do every day, and so, you know, I'm proud of all of them. But just off the top of my head, those two seniors have been good on defense, and then Luke Snaberger and Evan Donaldson on offense.
Do you yell at Luke differently than the other kids?
Yeah, well, he is my little brother. Yeah, you know.
You can get away with it, right?
Yeah, well.
Do you give him a wedgie or anything? Do you pick on him like a big brother should?
Well, I guarantee you those other kids, you know, they don't think he has any preferential treatment.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, last one for me. What class are we getting you out of teaching right now?
Well, I'm getting out of personal finance right now. So they're in there doing a study guide for their next test. And so, but I'm happy to talk to y'all guys. I'm happy y'all having me on here and getting to talk about my players. And so I appreciate it.
Oh, you bet, man. Thanks for joining us. Good luck tonight to the Eagles. And heck, maybe a good luck charm. We'll get you back next Friday if you're still going on in the Class A playoffs.
Heck yeah. We're gonna try. So thank y'all guys.
Hey, thank you very
much. Thanks, Coach.
Jacob Snaberger, head coach of the Burns Flat Deal City Eagles, headed down to Mangum tonight to play the Tigers. I think, you know, like he said, a little bit of change from here and there on the schematics of 11-man to 8-man and making that change from 8 back to 11. But they've handled it well.
Yeah.
And you look at the scores of those games, and even the ones they lost, had a little bit of trouble with Moreland and Fairview, but Hooker had a 35-34, and I want to remember back to that game. I think they went for two to win it and didn't get it as that game went along. But anyhow, a really nice comeback with three wins. And I mentioned the game against Mangum earlier in the year. You wonder how teams have changed. You know, that was clear back on the 17th, week three, 17th of September. But 56-38 it was the win for Burns Flat. And if you look at the point totals that Mangum has given up, that 56 is far and away the most. So you wonder, or I wonder, without seeing the game, is there just something about what the Eagles do that gives the Tigers some trouble?
Yeah, obviously. I think something's there. Without seeing film, but you just look at the numbers. But it's a different, like you said, I mean, that was back then and this is now. So these are two different teams, and some can approach it like, well, that was then, this is now. Mangum's going to give them a tougher out this time. But guess what? Burns Flat, they get better too, I think. They've gotten better. I think those three losses were actually help them focus more. You know what I mean? Does that make any sense? So, should be a good game, but I think Mangum's going to be okay tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I know when we talked about that stretch there, down the stretch in that the A1 playoff race, when you looked at what the Eagles had played, they had, you know, gotten those three teams out of the way. So you really, to me, I wonder if that three-game losing streak in the middle was just simply a function of playing those three right in a row.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody else really did that. And I know when we looked at the schedules for what was Thomas Merritt, Burns Flat, Texoma, you know, the whole key to me on their schedule was they didn't have Moreland, Fairview, or Hooker still left. They'd already, you know, they had already played those teams.
Right.
Whereas everybody else kind of had that game or one game with those teams available. And sure enough, Burns Flat, Dill City was able just to march right through the last three, and here they are down in Mangum tonight. So it's going to be a fun one to kind of keep our eye on. I know that we'll have our eye all over the state of Oklahoma from up at Cushing later on tonight. Let's pick our winners. Pick our state champs from each and every class. You want to go smallest to largest or largest to smallest? Or just shoot around?
Your show. Well, I have them in order, so don't do
that. I do, too.
So just shoot them around.
Okay.
Just you start wherever you want to start.
Did you put in order from largest to smallest?
I did.
So did I. All right, 6A1. Do you have anybody but Jinx?
Well, I think we're going to get our classic Jinx-Union matchup in the finals, and Jinx handled Union, what, they shut them out, I believe, earlier in the year. Jinx is the only team that's played Bixby close this year. That's key to me. So I got Jinx, yes.
It is their only
loss. I like
loss.
Trojans, if it, you don't know. I like Trojans.
Oh, yeah? You want to elaborate?
Oh, when we were there for state softball, my kids, and we stayed at Jinx, and we went out to eat and stuff when we were near their campus, and they had this huge indoor facility for their football team, and on the side was the classic Trojan logo. And my kids, they were like, hey, look, Trojans. Can we go over there? I don't think they'll let us in. Different type of Trojans. But no, I like Jinx a lot.
When you look at the Bixby schedule.
Yes.
There's one game that sticks out like a sore thumb, and it is the win at Jinx. But Bixby's scores outside of that game against the Trojans, 69, 42, 71, 81, 70, 58, 56, 66, 69. Only put 23 on Jinx.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So, yeah.
23-15 right there. I mean, that was a – yeah. That's why I think Jinx is the second best team in the state overall.
I'd agree. Is there any reason to talk about 6A2?
No, Bixby. The real question is who they're going to play. Choctaw?
Golly, they whipped Choctaw, didn't they?
Yeah.
I think they put – yeah, they put 70 on Choctaw.
My goodness.
That was like a big game.
It's supposed to be.
And they beat him 70-7.
No. It's Bixby. Bixby and the rest.
Yeah.
Congratulations on making the playoffs, Dill City, Sand Springs, Choctaw.
They'll end up with what?
Stillwater.
Do they have just three rounds in the playoffs?
Yeah.
So they'll end up with a 49 game.
They'll play tonight. They'll play next week and they'll wait a week. They'll have a.
That's right. They get Thanksgiving off.
Yeah.
And then they'll be back.
Yeah.
That'd be a 49 game win streak to end the season.
Unreal.
What
a machine.
Yeah. Or is that a regular season win? I think it's an overall win streak.
It's unreal. I don't know.
5A.
This one was a little bit more up in the air for me because traditionally you think 5A and Carl Albert, but Carl Albert started 0-2 this year, but then when they got things going, they looks like they got their footing underneath them. So with that, I think McAllister's up there. MacArthur actually has a good team. Lawton Mack has a good team this year. But it's hard for me to go against the traditional Carl Albert in 5A, so I'll stick with Carl Albert.
I thought this might be one where we differed.
You're going with Carl Albert, are you?
I wanted to pick MacAllister.
I wanted to, but then when you really get into it, do you think if it's MacAllister and Carl Albert in the finals, Carl Albert, that's where they live, man. So that's where I'm going. I think when you started 0-2, everybody buried them. Everybody forgot about
them. Oh, yeah. And then both those teams were 6A teams.
Yeah.
In Dell City and Midwest City.
Right.
I mean, yeah, they haven't lost anybody in 5A.
Yeah. Carl Albert, that's mine.
I wrote down Carl Albert, and I'm trying to talk myself into changing, but I can't. 4A.
Tough one here because you got Tuttle, number one. You got Poto on the other side. Wagner's still up. There's still going to be a player in this. On the other side of the bracket – of course, there's Clinton. Grove is going to be tough out, and we'll see Cushing tonight. Man, you go first. I'm on the fence. I'm on the fence on two teams. Two teams I'm on the fence of.
Clinton and Poto?
Yep.
I knew it. I'll take Tuttle just because they're number one. I really – you're going to name some other teams. I'm anxious to see Cushing with our own eyes. Also, Grove. The running back is really good there. But I'd really like to pick this Monday.
After we see what happens.
I want to see the results of the first, not from anywhere else, but 4A1. How good was 4A1? Because the way Clinton rolled through it, and especially those last two games, if the Elks, if Bethany either win or make a really strong showing, you know, what does that say?
Yeah.
About the strength of what Clinton's schedule was. You know,
that's key. The Bethany Blanchard game, with the way Blanchard played Tuttle to the wire.
That's right.
And the way Bethany fell to Clinton. If Bethany keeps it close or even wins that game, does that answer about,
which is crazy because we're talking about the second seed in one district trying to hang with the third in another.
Yeah.
So I think we both are a little bit suspect about 4A1 and how strong it really is. You know, you look at Clinton's schedule, the Heritage Hall loss is the only one there. You know, that was a tie game or right there at half. It was close. And then Heritage Hall kind of pulled away in the second half of turnover here or there.
That
Clinton hasn't been committing. And recency bias for us, it's almost like PTSD. We saw it just dominant with Clinton in the last two games against the Elks and Bethany.
I keep going back to
– I'll take Tuttle, though.
I keep going back, as far as Clinton's concerned, of they get better as the season goes on. They get
better, they
peak at the right time. That was a staple of the Mike Lee era. And it feels like that's coming back. They peaked last year at the right time. You know, took opportunities and went with it. Listen, I'll put.
You're gonna pick Clinton just because that's where you went to school.
No,
it's okay.
No, don't do that to me, man. They're really impressing me lately.
Yeah, they played well.
Tuttle last week didn't impress me, but they're still a good team. I think a Tuttle Wagner matchup in the quarters could be really good. I don't even have Tuttle in my finals. I got Poto Clinton in the finals. I'll lean Clinton.
Oh, there you go.
There.
Homer. All right, 3A. I'm saying it because I know it.
Maybe it is recency bias for me.
It irritates you.
But the Bethany thing stands out to me, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason. I mean, there's reason to pick Clinton. There's no doubt about that. 3A.
Heritage Hall.
That's who I got,
They've been ranked third. Second and third, something like that, all season long. But kind of like Carl Albert, when you get Heritage Hall in the playoffs, and
Gavin Freeman,
they're undefeated.
Gavin Freeman is a stud at Heritage Hall. Only guy I can remember.
The next Wes Welker,
he ran down Nate Jones in that Clinton game.
Yeah,
from behind, it's like, whoa, who shot that guy out of a cannon?
And he's compared to Wes Welker.
He's fast, little guy. 2A.
Now we're getting in areas we don't really follow a lot of. I was torn between, was it Washington and Marlowe?
Washington has been dominant.
But I'll go with Washington.
They played in the finals last year.
They have been dominant.
I went with Marlowe.
Did you? Okay.
Just not to pick the number one team in every class.
Right.
Class A.
But listen, in high school, sometimes it's
a lot of times
it's
the way
cut.
It goes. Yeah. Class A.
Class A. I went with Ringling.
So did I. Golly, the ones I tried to be different, you picked the same one.
I had others contending in that one. Who did I have? Class A.
Cashin.
Cashin. Of course, Gore's ranked second in the AP.
Gore.
They're undefeated.
Yeah.
You know, Fairview's undefeated, too. Keep an eye out for them. But I like Ringling.
It's going to look – remember, was it 2 years ago? When Ringling hadn't given up at a point in like eight games going into the playoff or something crazy like that. It's not quite that good this year, but they have given up in 10 games, 19, 42, 62. What are they, Georgia? Class B.
Who is
– what?
Is Coons still coaching? Is he at Ringling? Phil Coons?
I think so. Yes, he is.
Well, he's finding second life there. Good for him. It is. Philip Coons is still there.
I'm looking at it right now, too. Class A.
Class B. I went with Dewar.
Back-to-back.
Everyone's looking at Laverne. I think that's a thing, the back-to-back thing. I'll go Dewar.
Laverne.
Ah, all right.
Going Laverne. How long has it been since the Class B state title resided outside of Northwest Oklahoma for two straight years?
Good point.
I'm gonna guess it's been a while.
It's a good point.
I had all those numbers last year, and that was the first one in a while. I'm gonna go with Laverne, bringing it back out to the Northwest Oklahoma, and then Class C.
I will stick with Mountain View Godibeau. But like I said earlier in the week, you never know. You start playing these teams you're not familiar with. But they've looked so dominant. They've gone wire to wire number one in everybody's poll. I like Mountain View.
That's who I picked, Mountain View. All right, let's recap. We had a request to recap. So 6A1, okay. We both had Jinx. 6A2, we both had Bixby. 5A, we both had Carl Albert. 4A, I had Tuttle, you had Clinton. 3A, we both had Heritage Hall. 2A, you went Washington, I went Marlowe. Class A, we both went Ringling. Class B, you had Dewar, I had Laverne. Class C, we both had Mountain View Godibeau. There it is.
There it is.
Recapping the picks.
There it is.
Ask and you shall receive. Text line 225-9698. It's that simple. All right. What else you got?
Get her going tonight, man.
Anything else? High school football playoffs?
I think we covered it as best as we could. I'm going to get ripped for the 4A pick.
No, you're not.
I try to look at it subjectively, you know. I try.
It's hard to look at it subjectively when you've got maroon and gold glasses on.
Listen to me, brother. I am in the media. Come on.
It's just funny to irritate you. And it's working so far. Jared's receiving a little bit of moral support on the text line.
Oh, yeah?
For his pick of the Red Tornadoes. Listen,
I got a new text line, but not a new text line, so I gotta log in to see it.
That's right. Yeah, the number's still the same for you guys, 225-9698. And the good news is it carried over names, so we can see that it's still Billy.
Thank you,
texting
Billy.
Texting in. Moral support. It would be goal ball number 17. That is correct, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah. 2012, it's been a while for Clinton. I think that's a thing, too.
It is. A whole decade. Don't know how they've made it over there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they're really struggling, aren't
Gosh,
they?
Gosh, I can't believe the town hasn't imploded.
Yeah.
That's sarcasm. Don't need everybody pitchforks out in front of the radio station.
They're a little bit more level-headed than other fans.
My goodness gracious.
It's a struggle.
Yeah.
That's from Billy.
That, you know what? That is a good point, though, when you think about this. That program doesn't really go that long.
Is that the question?
Coach Meadows, last one over there was what, 83 or 4? And they went all the way to 96? 96? Yeah, I think so.
Let's go ahead and Google it up.
So that was a few years. 96, I think 90, I can't, it's harder for me to remember football seasons versus graduating classes, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure it was the 97 graduates, 96 football season.
I think Go Reggie was taking snaps.
Back to, yeah.
Yeah.
I believe that's right. Back to back. Jason Crawford was a running back. Whew. That was a good team. That was a good team.
Really good team.
It would have been fun to watch that team if the world worked like this. To watch that team play 2 years later, Elks, because it was a lot of the same guys on the field for Elk City that night against that 96 title team for Clinton, but they were sophomores. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
To let the older guys, you know, as they were both like the same age, that'd have been fun to watch that game. That could have been a heck of a game,
right?
Between those two squads, for sure.
Let's see here.
I think it's 84 to 96. That's what I'm going with.
90. I'm looking. Yeah. Yeah, they took down Weatherford in the championship game of 96. And I think you're right. There's a lot of appearances there, obviously, versus the Adas.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of frustration there in the 90s. And once they got over that hump, I mean, the floodgates were open.
So, wait, was it two or three in a row?
Against Ada?
No, once they won.
Oh, well, they won 96.
97 for sure. I was there. It was at Weatherford.
97.
Mm-hmm. Not 98.
They have this wrong. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know why they put it in there. Yeah, not so there's two in a row there.
Okay, so it was.
So two in a row, and then they – and then 99, they lost to Fort Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
2000 season, They beat Salisal in 2001. They beat Salisal, so there's two in a row there. 1 year they went like three in a row, like in the early 2000s. Anyways, God, look at us. Hard to juggle all these state championships. Remember them all.
That's kind of a humble brag.
No, it's just a Clinton thing.
Yeah, a humble brag.
I mean, I don't have it memorized.
I know, I kind of do. That's what's weird. Right through there. I knew him better than you did. Football this weekend, the college football games. It's a good thing we don't have the webcast.
Radio,
you got Eli Manning right there. The college football games this weekend. Obviously, the in-state schools intrigued down in Waco with Oklahoma, number 8, taking on number 13, Baylor. We kind of broke that game down yesterday. Baylor's rushing attack has been fantastic. Number 8 in the country so far this season, almost 230 a game. OU's run defense has been the better part of that defense by far, 17th in the country. That's been the common theme in these games that Oklahoma has played close, and it's been unable to get the other team off the field, and Baylor's offense seems set up to do exactly that with a potent rushing attack.
Yeah, and the numbers don't lie as far as the defensive stats for OU against the run. I saw it pulled or heard it pointed out yesterday. Well, yeah, that's against some bad teams in the league, though, in the conference. You know, now you're getting into the tougher part of the conference. How do they fare against that? I like their chances because of health. I think they're OU, that is. They're healthier. They're coming off the bye week. They're rejuvenated, you would think, and motivated after how they some feel like they're being disrespected in the college football playoff rankings. So that's key, though, is stopping Baylor's run and forcing Bohannon to throw it, something he's mediocre at best. And I think they might have some – if they start off early hampering down the run, that could be very telling as for the rest of the game. And I think they will have success. I kind of do. I got this good feeling about it. Maybe I'm too optimistic, but I just got this good feeling about it because of the health. I keep going back to them being healthier.
Yeah, there's starting to be whispers and reports out there that Woody Washington even is going to be able to play, which
– Even Grant was a little bit more optimistic about him playing too.
So that, obviously they've been OU defense has been missing Woody Washington, and that's why he's been giving up all these points anyhow. But there's no doubt, though. I mean, there's a reason why guys are starters and guys are second teamers, and it's because they're better. And we'll see how much better, though. I think that's I don't think that even the critics of what's happening, when you start talking about injury, I don't even think the critics aren't necessarily saying, oh no, they're not going to be better. I think it's to what degree will that defense improve with having all those guys. I don't think you can doubt the last time we saw that Oklahoma defense. Now it was Tech, and it's a different animal, but having Redmond, having Graham, having DeLaron Turner Yell back out on the field.
Key Lawrence
moves.
Good position.
Now, here's a question. Where does he go?
Yeah. Yeah.
If Washington really is healthy – do they try – is DJ Graham more of the candidate to move kind of to that slot corner spot that Billy Bowman started at? I mean, is Bowman going to be the guy? I mean, because Lawrence feels – he doesn't feel like a guy that can get down there inside. But on the outside, he was really good. And bigger, taller, physical, more physical presence.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you're saying right there is
positive for me. Why? We got guys. Where do we put them? That's depth.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying?
Kind of.
I mean, could you rotate them in basically on certain packages of what you want to run, what Grinch wants to run, what he sees versus Baylor's offense? Okay, this is where we put Lawrence. This is where we put Graham. You see what I'm saying? There's depth there.
Yeah, but
and you're
you
not
have
forced
to
play guys out of position because of injury.
Well, how much – I guess that's my question. You want your best guys out on the field, and with what Lawrence showed, he appears to be one of those. Mm-hmm. I mean, even against Kansas, I mentioned it that week. Nobody wanted to talk anything good about OU's defense, but Key Lawrence was good against Kansas. Even he was there playing the safety spot. So how much is – I mean, he's already been forced to move. Do you move him inside? He just doesn't seem like the inside guy. DJ Graham is more of the shiftier, smaller, quicker guy. But how much has he worked it? I mean, it was obvious Bowman hadn't worked on the outside. He'd been specifically and exclusively in that nickel spot. So when he was kind of lost outside trying to figure out what his assignments are, do they just trust him? I think that'll be interesting if Washington is there. Where does everybody go? And here's another one. Washington's been there the longest. So does that mean he is the best candidate to put at that nickel corner spot? Because he's worked. Because remember this, in that LSU game that nobody wants to remember, when Buki went Buki, who was that guy in the nickel corner spot? It was Woody Washington. So maybe he does have the advantage of working there.
Would you, let's say he's a go, and we'll never know how 100% he is or not. Would you start him after being absent for so long, or would you use him back in?
If he's ready to go, he's the guy.
He's the guy.
Period. I mean, he's proven more than anybody else back there, to me.
I agree.
It just maybe from the eye test. He may not have the numbers that you know Yell or Fields have.
No, but he
throughout a career.
I know what you're saying.
But when you watch him,
he looks the part.
Oh yes, yes. If there's one guy in the back end that you would point to and go, that guy looks like what you see on Sunday, or that guy looks like Alabama, or that guy looks like Clemson, it's him. It's Woody Washington.
Even when he gets, I won't say beat, but, you know, loses a one-on-one, like, well, he was there.
And he turned his head, and his hand was in the air, and all that.
Yeah,
for sure.
He's in the position. He just got out-jumped or something. Yeah.
Then you've got Oklahoma State hosting TCU. You know, I was listening yesterday afternoon, and there was a little bit of almost wonder whether or not Chandler Morris would start if Duggan was healthy. Surely to goodness, that's
on,
just kind of talking.
That's just all talk.
I mean, after what Chandler
OSU
Morris did.
On their toes.
No, I'm not talking about from the TCU side. I just mean from on the air.
Right.
Different question callers ask, you know, is he – hey, surely to goodness, Chandler Morris is the guy up there. And then what different issues does that create for the OSU defense that they may not have been ready for just, you know, literally 7 days ago?
Well, Baylor was not ready for it, clearly. You would think with all the tape now out there of that game, OSU would be ready for either quarterback. See what I'm saying?
Oh, I mean,
you know what I mean? There's
they
more
have
film on them that like this is how, you know, and it's a disadvantage to a point. You got to prepare for either scenario. Mm-hmm. I get that, but they're going to be prepared for it. I think Jim Knowles will have them ready. It's going to be tough. OSU cannot overlook this team. I know they've had their battles this year internally with losing their coach and all this stuff. The record's not where they think it should be. But I think Chandler Morris, not so much to the point like Caleb Williams has at OU, but he adds that extra something to TCU's offense that wasn't really there with Duggan. So if he's playing, I mean, OSU – It could be a closer than expected game. I like OSU in the game, regardless of who's the quarterback for TCU, but OSU better be ready for that because Chandler Morris adds that extra something to that offense.
Yeah, and I mean, yes, there is tape, but it's one game. You know, it's not like there's a whole season worth to be able to prepare for him. You know, you get an idea of what he's about, but who knows if that's his complete bag of tricks or not. You know,
it's,
there's a lot still there to be unknown on both sides. Was that just a flash in the pan against a Baylor defense, and can he do it against what's one of the best defenses in the country? Surely we're going to find out.
Yeah.
And we're not going to see Max Duggan run out there for TCU at 7 o'clock on Saturday night.
I didn't know. This is cool. I can't wait to see this. OSU, it's a blackout game? I didn't know that.
Barry Sanders is going to they're unveiling his statue.
Oh, great.
So it's almost going to be like the second straight homecoming feel to the crowd.
Yeah.
Out there in Stillwater with Sanders coming back.
The crowd will be into it, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that helps.
Sure it does.
Because if there's any team in the Big 12 that you wouldn't blame for looking ahead, and it's going to be a topic I promise we'll talk about next week if OSU wins against TCU and the Sooners continue to win as well, is that look ahead. OU's got a huge advantage next week with opponent because it's Iowa State.
Yeah, they're not going to look past Iowa State.
They're not looking past Iowa State, but OSU has to go to Tech. What is Tech? You know,
yeah,
but the defense travels and that helps with all that stuff. But that'll be a topic for sure next week if both teams win, and then it's that one final hurdle to one of the best bedlams going in that we've ever seen.
Yeah.
All right, high school hoops, Paragon TV, 6:30. Playoff football, Big Elks at Cushing, 7 o'clock. Big Elk TV pregame will start at 6:30. Also hear that one down on Cool 94. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered early.